This is Amateur Logic, episode 200 for December 20th, 2024. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. This holiday season, let your passion for communication shine bright with ICOM's industry-leading ham radios. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Emil.
And I'm Mike.
And it's great to be back with everyone here for episode 200, which just happens to fall on our Christmas episode.
200.
Well, we've got a fun show lined up tonight. Two guys here just returned from a ham fest recently.
Lucky guys.
Somewhat recently.
Yeah, somewhat.
Who might that be?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I want to see footage of the cheap old man opening his wallet and seeing all those moths fly out of it.
Yeah.
He opened his wallet before I got to him. So. I'm not sure he didn't just barter the guy out of swap or something. So.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, Emil's gained quite the reputation. They probably don't even bother trying to haggle back. I'll just say, okay, take it.
Just take it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a little holiday fun here tonight as we go throughout the show. But to start out here, Emil, this is not an email, but it came from a post, which
it's certain.
Well, it actually came from a previous Amateur Logic
post. Sure did. Peter, VK3PB, he put us a post on the Facebook page about something that kind of shocked me. I did not have any idea. Everybody might know Jeff Dunham as the comedian ventriloquist, right? Doc Med and several other characters he does, but he's also an old television aficionado. He's loving these old televisions, and he actually has put together a video in which he restores one of them that's new in the box. It's new old stock that was never opened.
It's a Philco.
What do they call the model?
Predicto.
The thin tubes and, you know, all the electronics were underneath them. They were mounted on those boxes, and you could see them there basically taking it out of its chassis, or taking the chassis out of that bottom part for the first time. And they actually go through repairing one of them, or the new one, because it didn't quite power on new out of the box from the 60s.
No.
No figure.
But, yeah, well, I won't give it away what they had to do to fix it. It was not a real surprise after it came all down to it.
Exactly, but I mean, it was pretty cool to watch. Yeah. Thank you, Peter, for sending us that, because that was a nice video.
If you get a chance, go check it out. It's a little long. Yeah, it was fun to watch. Very interesting.
Yeah, I started. I had a chance to finish it yet. It looks pretty cool.
That tray out, plugged in.
I'd like to find one of those old TVs like that. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
They all had hot chassis, most of them.
Yep.
Yeah, but everything did back then. That's just how we lived. Tommy, I mentioned earlier you went to a ham fest recently.
I did. I went almost to the country in New Orleans.
Pretty close. You got out of the state.
I did. First time.
The gap was open. You just drove right on through.
Right on through. Well, I've said numerous times that I'm going to go down to the Slidell Ham Fest. It looked like a good one from the reports I'd seen. Well, I actually made it this time. Happened to be a farmer's market or some kind of a market going on at the same time, so parking was a little bit tough.
Well, I made it to the Ham Fest. I had to park way over here. The Ham Fest is way over there somewhere. So, anyway, thought about calling an Uber to get me to the building, but I guess I'll hoof it.
Well, I drove around in circles a few times and thought I was a little bit farther than I was when I made that clip, but it actually turns out it was really close. It was just basically through the parking lot over there. I wasn't sure where the entrance to the Hamfest part of the building was, but it's the farthest left door. It's a really nice facility. I ran into somebody there that you've seen before. Well, I'm here at the Slidell Hamfest, the Ozone Amateur Radio Club.
You got it.
I heard something squeaking, and I looked around. Look who I found, cheap old man.
I'm squeaking, all right. Yep, I'm trying to maintain my reputation, but might be failing miserably.
Yeah, I think you got to put a little ding in your reputation. I saw you carrying around a big box. What was in that?
I bought a receiver for another room in our house that we moved into recently for weather band, broadcast radio, and also 2 meters. The difference, it has 2 meters in it, so I'll slip that in there.
Yeah, so when your wife starts listening to the 2 meters, she'll kind of get hooked and be ready to get her ticket?
Exactly. It's a ploy to get her that license in there. That's right.
Now, maybe it'll work. You think it will?
No.
Yeah, but yeah, you don't have much of a chance, but it's a nice try anyway.
That's right. I'll wind up in my, we're building a new ham shack, which I'm sure we'll have videos of, but I'll wind up out there.
Yeah, just came out of your forum, which you did a good job on that, on digital modes.
That was fun. I like expanding. I've been giving those for about 3 to 4 years now, and I love expanding each time a little bit more. And this time I added a slide or two about what's new. But I tried to keep it high level because I knew there was going to be techs and generals and extras in there. So I mix high level with details, but keep it understandable. That's the key for me.
Yeah, you did a nice job. The slides are done. You can tell you've done those slides before.
Yeah, somebody in that room, Larry, KG5EXB, asked me, is this going to be the same one? I'm like, yes, but different.
Oh! I didn't mean the same ones. I mean, like, experience with doing them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do PowerPoints at work a lot?
Yeah, I do, actually. We give presentations presented over Teams, mm-hmm. and I work remote. So we do all sorts of stuff like that with Teams and present solutions and really show people the results of what we've done. So, yeah, I got plenty of experience doing that.
Yeah, cool. So came down here for the jambalaya, and no jambalaya this year.
I'm sorry, Tommy. We might have misled Tommy on the jambalaya front. Now, actually, we had a volunteer who used to do this every year, and I think he either retired or came down with some health issues who done it. The club did get together and send him a big thank you letter because he's been doing it for years. Unfortunately for you, not this year.
Well, that's all right. I had a hamburger. It was a good burger.
All right, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when... anyway, it's a nice little ham fest. Looks like everybody's packing up, though. What time does it end?
2 o'clock. Yep, in an hour.
Oh, I've got 55 minutes to make my purchase.
Yep. And I'm sticking around just to make sure my name shows up on that winning board over there. It's still not there, so we're gonna make sure it does some kind of way.
Well, you got a few minutes left, so. Did you see if mine's up there?
I did not. I don't think either one of us are up there. We're not on the lucky train today.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I'm going to wander around here. Time's running out, so I'm going to see what I can scoop up. I made one purchase. You would have approved, too, but now I can get whatever I need. I've got 4 ground straps at a total of $2.
You win, because I done blew that. No, you're the cheap old man today.
Yeah, maybe I hear myself squeaking. All right, let's see you a little bit later, man.
All right, thanks, Tommy.
I don't know if he's going to be able to use that cheap old man moniker thing. He's not really an old man yet either. So eventually, he doesn't have the gray, too much of that yet. But anyway, had a good time visiting with Emil. And then we ran into another guy there that came all the way down. Had an interesting thing going on. Let's take a look at that.
Well, I ran into somebody that watches the show pretty regular. What's your name and call sign?
Bill, and it's KC9TPR, and I'm from Wisconsin. Drove 1,000 miles to see these gentlemen.
Yeah, you come a long way. What you got here? ICOM Ham Crew shirt.
I won it on Amateur Logic, and I took it to, I took it to Huntsville in 2018, and I took it to this year to Dayton, and I got Ray Novak's in Dayton. I've got Josh in Huntsville 2018, and now I've got these gentlemen here that I caught today.
Yeah, you got this guy, Tommy M5ZNO. I see Don Wilbanks, 85DW.
And I got the man from
Tim.
From Tim from DX Engineering.
K3LR?
Yeah.
Cool, very nice.
And I just think it's a nice way to say thank you.
Yeah, it is. We appreciate you.
Thank you. And it's nice finding you guys. You guys are good company.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You as well.
Thank you.
Pretty cool. He's won that on Ham College, as he mentioned. He said Amateur Logic, but he meant Ham College. So anyway, if you're a Ham College watcher, get your name, your entry set in each month for Ham College if you haven't won before. And maybe you'll get one of the shirts, too. It's a pretty cool shirt. When I came out of Emil's forum, I didn't realize how early the Ham Fest ended. I'm used to like 3 o'clock or so, but it ended pretty early. So by the time I came out of Emil's Ham Fest, most everything was kind of starting to break down. But I did manage to get across the hallway over there and see the guy at Chat Radio. I don't have his name right now. I apologize. I got an interview with him, but I had a problem with my camera or with me or something, but I only got a few clips. But he had a really nice setup there. He's an Icom dealer, has a Heil gear, C-Crane, which is what Emil bought, a C-Crane radio. He's got some Anytone, Comet antennas, lots and lots of things. So it's really nice to see a new equipment vendor. I love going around and looking at the old gear at the tables and stuff. And that's really the cool stuff. But sometimes you need some new stuff, too. So appreciate those guys from Chat Radio to come and support. And some of the smaller Ham Fests, last several I've been to, don't have new dealers. Chat Radio, chattradio.com. The link's right here if you want to check them out. But anyway, thanks to those guys for coming to support the Ham Fest. The drive for me was about right at 3 hours to get down there and then 3 hours home. But it, to me, it was worth it. I hadn't been to a Ham Fest since the Jackson Ham Fest last year. This year I had COVID and wasn't able to go, so I was kind of dying to go to one. The Ozone Amateur Radio Club does a really good job putting it on, so hats off to those guys, too. They really know how to set up a nice Ham Fest. So hopefully I'll see you guys maybe next year there, 73.
Well, with us being the Christmas episode of Amateur Logic, this year we decided we'll look at some Christmas toys from days gone by. Some things, toys maybe that we had or that we wanted. First up, this is one right here that I actually had. Apparently, I didn't realize it, but I was going to be a media mogul like years ago.
That's right up your alley, man.
An Ace printing press. This is actually the second one I had. I had the smaller one first. This one is a giant size here. You could take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of typing paper and fold it, and it would run through there.
Wow.
So
did you ever use those to make bogus concert tickets?
No, didn't do that.
Mike.
I don't remember what all I printed with it right now. But
I'm just thinking of applications you could use that for, and I think that would be a good one. It's even, you could even use that portable.
Well, I only had like one font, you know, because you had to put the little rubber letters in these little things.
Kind of like type?
Yeah,
type,
exactly.
Type? Really?
Well, say, yeah, George, it is that old. Yeah.
It says 2 columns. Does that mean like 2 columns of letters or like 2 column newspapers, like you see articles on both sides?
Well, you could probably make 3 columns. I mean, you just put spaces between the letters for however wide you wanted to make it, because it was rubber letters that you were putting in a little tray that just snapped into that rubber ring around the drum up there. And then the white part there is where you'd put the ink. So apparently this one right here was never used, or else they had a new ink roller. Yeah,
that's
because
cool.
It would be black. But, yeah, I had fun with that.
That makes me think about in high school. I had a graphics arts class when I was in Virginia, and we did lead type. The typesetting.
It'd be the same thing.
Typesetting.
Yeah, this is just rubber.
And the rubber roller and stuff. It was pretty cool stuff. It was fun. We did all that. Then we moved into the offset thing where you did use photographic process to make a plate.
You couldn't do that with this thing.
Yeah.
The Astrolite, it was like these Lucite rods, and you built on this tabletop. It was kind of like building with Tinker Toy in a sense. And then, I don't know if you can see it there, there's a big kind of thumb wheel affair. When you rotated that disc, it created different colors. It wasn't exciting as what the commercials led me to believe. But anyway, I had one of those, and I had it for quite a long time, actually.
That's pretty.
Tommy, did you have this one here?
I did have it. Everybody in the neighborhood had those little Space Patrol, I think they were, yeah. Walkie-talkies.
You had a professional one.
Well, it says professional. But I bought that at Radio Shack. That thing was 3 watts, too, man.
3 watts, 3 channels?
Yeah, 3 watts, 3 channels. That's my first handy talkie. I wish I still had it, to be honest with you. I think when we moved from Virginia down to Alabama, it got left in my box of stuff at my grandmother's house. We were going to go back, but we probably never did, But.
I remember those telescoping antennas were like crazy long. By the time you extended it fully, it was like, I don't know, 7 feet?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that long, but it was very long. So it's real easy to bend it, too, because I bent it. First time I got it out, I bent the end of it some. It made me sick, kind of, but it didn't break.
Wow.
I had 2 crystals in it, not 3. I don't remember which other crystal I had for it.
$1.99 each, or the high accuracy, $5 a pair, man. Apparently 4 channels they offered.
I just remember them being really good quality. They weren't like a cheap walkie-talkie. They were actually pretty good.
Yeah, pretty solid. It was heavy, good solid handy talkie.
The only weak point would have been the antenna if you weren't careful with it.
Yeah.
But other than that, you could drop those things and it was never a problem.
Email, this is something you can't. Was this your Morse code practice set or what? What was this here?
Well, you know, everybody probably had Operation, right?
We did.
The bright shiny red nose and the little tweezers you got to pull a bones out and not hit the sides, otherwise the guy's gonna die and buzz and you name it. Well, you know, that kind of got old fast, so you know what would have been better, George?
Yeah,
the Tesla edition. It's not going to be the nose that's just going to be lighting up with this edition, because I can tell you, with a more direct alternating current connection directly to the person playing, you'll always get a rise out of it. You could even use it in its seconds, you know, with all of these holiday leftovers around. You could use this to rewarm your leftovers for holidays. And you could see that the quality of the design in that nose, the new nose element, is really neat, well designed, and again, just really going to get a rise out of this. This would have been much better, I remember.
Functional.
I think I saw that in a James Bond movie once.
Yeah. Mike, you had something here. Well, this, we didn't really include this as a Christmas toy, but it certainly would make a nice one. Too bad we're not kids anymore.
Yeah, the Raspberry Pi 500. I was kind of waiting for this one to come out. And actually, I was going to try to shoehorn my Raspberry Pi 5 into my Raspberry Pi 400 case, but you take the Raspberry Pi 5, compared it to the 4, the connections are different. They're in a different layout, so it's not easily done. And I would have had to hack the case apart. And finally came out with the 500, which basically is a Raspberry Pi 5. I would say at this point it's really a desktop replacement.
You know, the 400 practically was a desktop replacement. The thing was peppy.
Certainly, yeah,
it wasn't bad at all. I might actually break down and buy one, even though I don't really need one.
I came awful close to pulling the trigger on that, and I said, well, you know, I don't have to have the first one. I'll wait till after the new year. Well, I had an email here from Chip. Speaking of Hamfest, Chip said, let me see. I got it written down here somewhere because it wasn't much. So rather than waste a whole sheet of paper, I just wrote it at the bottom of this one right here. He said, my entire purchase at the Hamfest, and I'm not sure which Hamfest it was he went to, he had told us, a BNC to SO239 adapter. Email, I think he took your title, man.
Good job, Chip. Way to go, man. You did it.
I don't know. I only spent $2. How much was that?
I couldn't tell from the photo. Is that faux gold?
No, that's not faux gold. That's not silver plated either, though. I hate to even bring this up with your reputation and all, but you found something nice at the Ham Fest down there.
Tommy done already ratted me out, so we might as well just get right into it.
Hello, George, Tommy, Mike, Amateur Logic TV viewers. Every once in a while, I like to take a step back, see what's happening out there in the world of broadcast receivers and other receivers. And at a recent W5SLA Hamfest, I found this one. And I needed something for my shop that we're in progress building currently. And I wanted something that had decent sound and some coverage. So I found this one from a vendor called Chat Radio out of Chattanooga, TC, Tennessee. And let's take a look at it. First off, I really like the form factor of this radio. It's pretty beefy and wide and well-built with a speaker that really has good audio in person, which is exactly what I was looking for, listening to different things that I do, talk shows and podcasts, etc. Needed something. And this one has a couple more features, though, besides the normal AM and FM that I really like. It's a little different than most radios. Backlight's pretty good on the display as well.
So hopefully that comes gets through us going.
And the AM reception is pretty excellent. It's during the day. I'm in a building with a steel roof, so I'm doing really well with this dual twin coil ferrite for AM reception. Another thing it has that's really neat to me is a Bluetooth feature. Right, it just connected to my phone, so I can listen to the Amateur Logic TV podcasts and all the other podcasts with really good audio and articulation is awesome on this speaker. I'm not going to lie. I was impressed with it. But it also has another feature with 2 meters. 2 meters is actually built into the radio, which I think is awesome. I can hear the local repeaters here, or not so local repeaters, from my location with this radio, which is awesome. And then, of course, it has the weather service built into it, as well as alerting and memories for each of these bands. So, really neat receiver. It's just quality. This is quality all around. I also have a Sangine for one of my bedrooms, the 909 radio that does single sideband. So this one is not a shortwave radio like that one is, but the quality of the audio is what really drew me to it. I heard it in person at the Hamfest, W5SLA Hamfest, from that chat radio vendor out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. So good stuff. Go to check it out. Quick look at the back of the radio, and you'll see that there's external antenna terminals with a ground, as well as audio in and out jacks. The power supply is also built in, because it comes with that cable, and that comes in handy for what I'm using it for, because it'll be on a desk planted somewhere. Plugged into AC, even though it does work off of the batteries too, D batteries, which I use sometimes for portable, listening to the football games out on the porch. So, neat case handle as well. And the VFO or tuning knobs for the channels and the volume
with a lock switch so that you can't mess with the thing, as well as the headphone jack down there. And I don't think there's anything on this side, so yeah. But all around, really neat and quality radio, especially the audio.
Well, let's answer your first question first, was what should you do it? So FinCEN.gov, you know, clients, as we talk to them,
if we expect them to get damaged to some degree, the cover is to save their life so they have a chance to recover and go back the next summer. And so the inner part of the plant, the away from the plastic, is protected.
Temperature 50 degrees and the relative humidity 36%. Wind northeast at 9 miles an hour. The pressure 30.43 inches and steady.
Kilo Echo 5, Quebec. Kilo Romeo.
You know, that might be a legal use of that intro and credits on that.
For it being cheap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much is that thing, Emil?
That's not disclosed.
Non-disclosed, okay. Does it,
how can you put a price on quality?
Thank you, Mike.
Hearing it with the mic off your cell phone or whatever you shot that with. Does it sound as good as it did right there?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah. I was totally impressed with the audio quality of this thing, and it's going to be doing exactly what you heard, listening to talk shows either in my shop on the electronics bench and or a bedroom or on a porch listening to a football game. And I've listened to several things. It's just it's a pleasure to listen to.
How does music sound on it?
It is, you know, you got to adjust it. There's bass and treble controls on the front of the radio, and it's mono. So unless you're plugging that, you know, the headphones in, you're not going to get that good sound. But it's definitely not, I don't think it's designed for that. It's definitely about talk radio and listening to shows like the Random Intelligence podcast.
Okay. Tommy, you had an audio toy when you were a kid.
Oh, man, I did.
This was another one of your favorites right here, I take it?
Yes, sir. I had that one on the top left right there. I've carried that thing all over the place. I had it on my bike everywhere.
Wow. In 76, I would have been selling those at a store.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I carried it around, had a little external mic that plugged up to it, a little cheap one. It's like $6.
Yeah.
Had a little stand on it. I used to take it around and record sounds, traffic sounds, all kind of stuff. I wish I still had those cassettes. They're still probably in that same box in Virginia, wherever
yeah.
it is.
So Tommy, level with us. Did you ever record anything that you shouldn't have recorded?
No. Not as far as you know.
Yeah. No. Well, Mike, you had another toy here as well.
I'm partially embarrassed to say that I actually still have that.
Really?
I managed to keep this out of my toy collection. This would have been one of my earliest toys, and it was kind of a cool toy because Billy kind of had a motor in him, and he would power the vehicles.
Huh.
And that one, you see him seated in there with the six wheels. It was kind of a neat thing. It had three push buttons on the back. And it would operate the claw mechanically. It was all mechanically driven. The little saucer ship thing. It was kind of like one of those bump and go things. You'd stick Billy in there and he would run until the thing ran into an object on obstacle and then would change direction, that sort of thing. The coolest thing there was that six wheel vehicle with the claw, and it had the buttons on the back. You could actually pick stuff up with it.
Is that a Canadian thing or is that? Was that a bit down
think,
here, too?
I don't think so. It was made by a company called Eldon, and they were pretty big, I guess, in the late 60s, early 70s.
Cool.
And you can see on the bottom of the robot's feet, they would alternate, and it would actually make him kind of walk back and forth. And Billy, I don't know why you can't see it, but Billy was the same way. He had those things.
Email, you've got another one here. This almost looks like some kind of computer thing, but I know it's not because we had one of these when I was a kid.
Okay, yeah. So I think everyone has played Battleship before, right? The game where you're trying to sink each other's ships. And my grandfather sat us down as we had three boy cousins that would always play, and he taught us the strategy behind it. But you know what would have been better, George and Tommy?
Oh, yeah, there's something better?
I would have definitely liked to seen the high-frequency active auroral research program version, or HARP, Battleship. Because, you know, after you get used to the naval ballistics warfare, and it just kind of wears off, and you get used to how to find people, and there's nothing like it's going to add some dimension or interdimension to this game than the HARP edition. So some of the new features or actions, which includes much faster gameplay, is you could literally make all your enemy ships disappear in a single shot to several, you know, another dimension. And there is one caveat, though. The manufacturer says they're not responsible for any alien armada summonings or missing children during the gameplay. So you got to watch for that. But I would have loved to seen this version.
I don't know, the late 50s or early 60s. Sears Christmas catalog. It's different holiday Roundup novelty suits that you could get.
Wait up, those people look familiar.
You know, some of them do. Let's see if we can go in.
That there's only really 300 different facial types. And then they all start to look the same after a while.
Oh. I always wanted to be a cowboy.
Striking resemblance.
Wow, and that would have been, let's see, $2.95. You've been the king of the range.
Heck yeah, the king.
Unfortunately, it looks like you're getting a hot foot there. because
by the Australian guy.
By the Australian guy there who's roasting a weenie.
He's going to stab you with his donut.
Yeah. There's Peter VK 3PB. Who else have we got in here? Well, this one right here, I didn't change. Because that is what I looked like when I was a kid.
I can see that.
Yep.
That was you, wasn't it, George?
Yep. I was Monty the Mountie.
So
right
you're part
here.
Canadian.
Yeah. Hey, here's Gilligan. And he's trying to see what chord Emil is playing on the ukulele there.
Get the yuki.
Is that Emil Hatfield?
He's got a skeleton hand he's playing with.
Yeah. And Mike's about to pop him in the head there for something. Mike, you get the cheap old man award because you had the $1.09 costume.
$1.09. They could have made it an even dollar or 99 cents. They had to make it $1.09.
Well, and,
but I guess a penny would buy you a lot back then. I guess.
I guess so. But there's a crew there.
What's that coming out of my holster? Looks like a snake or something.
What do we want to know?
Yeah, I don't think we do. I got one more here. You know, these were cheap costumes. You can't find costumes for $1.09 anymore. The most expensive one there was $3.49. There's still hope if you're able to do a little DIY and you go to a grocery store where they have paper bags, you could come up with one of these right here. It's a keep it cheap paper bag recycled.
Looks like a makeshift Walter White kit.
On the back it says keep away from open flames.
Look, I actually have hair in that one. I like it.
You do, yeah. So there's a few more. We got more of those to go, but first
Daniel Eaton, KQ4JXE, is really letting us know about his ham fest. I thought I'd show the website on here, Fort Myers, Florida Hamfest. This came out December 6th, but the Hamfest is January the 10th and 11th of this coming year. It's at Florida Southwest State College, Building U in Fort Myers, Florida. I wish I could go. My whole family lives in Fort Myers except me, all my siblings, my dad. Everybody's down there. My mom was down there. So anyway, go check out the Hamfest if you're in the area January the 10th and 11th. They're going to have a testing, shop for gear. Anyway, looks like a lot of fun. Check it out.
Yeah, I was not a ham when I lived down there. That would have So yeah. I don't. Well, I might have known some hams and didn't know I did because I worked at a TV station.
Oh, a good chance you probably did then.
We're going to be right back.
This holiday season, let your passion for communication shine bright with ICOM's industry-leading ham radios. Celebrate the spirit of the season with reliable performance, cutting-edge technology, and the unmatched clarity that makes ICOM a gift worth giving. On the road, ICOM's handheld radios offer reliable performance, long battery life, and clear signal quality. Built tough for outdoor use and emergencies, ICOM keeps casual and serious operators connected wherever you go. The ID50A provides hours of VHF, UHF fun and enjoyment. Beginners will love the easy D-Star settings, band scope with waterfall display, voice messaging, and share picture function. The ID52A is the first dual-band handheld with a full-color 2.3-inch waterfall display. Conventional FM and D-Star simplex, repeater, regional, and worldwide calls over the D-Star Internet Gateway. The IC705 and IC7300 are the go-to rigs for outdoor hams who love POTA and SOTA activations. Both radios feature a large color touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive function and setting operation. The IC705 provides big radio features and performance in the palm of your hand. Enjoy HF to 50, 144, and 440 MHz with D-Star, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. The IC7300 is an industry first to use RF direct sampling in an entry-level HF radio. This high-performance radio has class-leading RMDR and phase noise characteristics and a built-in automatic antenna tuner. The IC7300 will far exceed your expectations. The real HF fun starts here. Or upgrade your station to one of ICOM's premium HF radios. With the IC7610, faint signals are no longer challenging for DXers and contesters. Pick out the faintest signals even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. This is the SDR every ham wants. The new IC7760 offers a modern connected system with a separate remote control head and RF deck linked via a standard LAN cable for more flexible installation. Place the RF deck closer to the antenna feed point, freeing up space on your desk. You can even connect the control head to the RF deck through your home network, enabling remote operations from anywhere your home without a PC. The ICPW2 is the perfect power addition to your base station. Take your contesting experience to the next level. The ICPW2 is a perfect, powerful addition to your base station. Take your contesting experience to the next level with ICOM's industry-first linear amplifier with included digital pre-distortion and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for single-operator to radio operation. For more information about ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic. Some nice radios there. I want that 7610.
Me too, man.
Yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't turn down the new 77...
60.
60. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That is. Very nice. Well, when, you know, my parents wouldn't let us have all the toys that were out there. You know, of course, there were financial concerns, but also safety concerns on some of them. And I think that's probably what kept us from getting these right here. But apparently some of you guys had these. I didn't. So you'll just have to explain to me, a layman, if I can get it to where it'll go.
Well, I know what's coming while you're getting the picture queued up. I'm just going to tell you, there were seven of us kids. That's why my mom probably bought us some.
Okay, trying to thin the herd a little bit.
Well, these are lawn darts, and we had them, and I only remember them when we went camping. We always had a set of those, and I didn't realize they had depleted uranium tips on them. But,
no!
Apparently they did. And yeah, I needed that bonus sharpening file because some of the campgrounds, the ground was pretty hard. And, you know, unless those tips were pretty sharp, they wouldn't stay in the ground. They would kind of bounce around. bounce off the hard ground. But yeah, we had them for camping until they were banned, and I can see why they were banned.
They only bounce off the ground if you don't fling them high enough.
Well, that's true. Either that or if your tips get dull or they're too blunt, they won't go into the ground. They'll just bounce off the ground. But I always wanted that t-shirt though. I never did get the t-shirt.
That's like a badge of honor there.
It is.
Emil, did you have those?
You know, George, I did. However, you know what would have been better?
Yeah.
If they came in a clustered ICBM model rocket kit, that would have been something. You know, forget about them not going high enough, Tommy, because this is going to get them to another continent. They even come in DEFCON colors. The 1 and 3 colors are very popular. And, you know, Mike, we ought to get together with those depleted uranium tips. I didn't realize they had them in there. But like you said, they were banned. And if you see on the bottom right there, they had to update the banned statement that the Consumer Protection Agency put out, basically saying, you know, don't try this anywhere because clusters of pointed metal darts mounted to rockets can be fatal on any continent. They had to expand the range a little bit. Parents are urged, you know, to discard or destroy any of them. But I can definitely see them thinning out the herd for sure. And, you know, speaking of hard tips with the sharpener, that's a great idea, Mike, because I know some kids that have some really hard heads.
One thing I'm wondering about, though, Emil, is I know it's only a scaled down version, but is it really necessary to have a Saturn V rocket to launch those things?
Well, the scale is kind of deceiving in there because it is pretty big. That top part on top of the Saturn V is actually much larger than you think, and it's got clusters of thousands of them.
Oh, okay. Well, one thing I got 1 year for Christmas was this right here, and I had a lot of fun with this. And I kind of wish I had one now because I think I could do something with it for some of my projects as a vacuum form.
Yeah, that's cool. I remember those. I don't know anybody had them, but that's very cool.
I had one, and it was nice. You could take whatever you want that wouldn't melt and set it down on that hot plate there. Pull the thin sheet of plastic over the top, and it would melt and form all those different things you see there. As a matter of fact, MFJ had a giant one of these at their factory that they use for making the plastic covers that went over there.
Oh, yeah, for the antenna tuners.
Right. Worked the same way as this thing.
So I never saw that. Where did you find something like that?
Mattel. They sold them everywhere when I was
young. Never seen that. That's pretty neat.
And my brother got one of these. I think it was, they had different models of these.
I remember those.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that.
It was called a Thing Maker. This one was a Fright Factory, but we had another one called Creepy Crawlers.
Yes.
That
you could make
bugs.
Spiders and dinosaurs and things out of. And it had the plastic goop that you'd squirt down in the molds, heat it up, and then it would form the little rubber animal or whatever, or insect. We used to take those to school and sell them. I don't know what we charged for them. Wasn't much. But we had a fun time playing with that thing as well. So there were a lot of neat toys back then. Unfortunately, they probably caused cancer and several other things. Tommy, you came across one here. This is not as much a toy as it is a ham radio item.
It was a toy to me, though. I enjoyed it.
This?
Go ahead, show. Oh, nope. That's not what I thought was coming up. Okay. Yeah, that is a ham radio item. That's a homeowners association compliant 2-meter J-pole, as you can see. It's a broadband. It works broadband. Fits in most windows. If you're a contester, you could probably win a major award with that. And your wife,
I don't know about the wife approved, though.
Oh, she's surely going to approve. She don't like your wires hanging all over the house and across the yard. Surely she's approve of that being in the window. It's a thing of beauty.
A leg with a fishnet stocking and high heels.
It includes a built-in 100-watt dummy load.
Broadband.
Fragile. Yep. It's Italian. Imported from Italy.
Why don't we listen to another one of those Christmas classics.
Okay.
Christmas, just like the ones I've never known, where the long wires glisten and hams all listen to hear weak signals in the snow. I'm dreaming of a cheap Christmas, with every QSO card I write. May your waterfalls be merry and bright. Christmases be cheap. I'm dreaming of a cheap Christmas, just like the one I've never known. Radio sales blessing, which includes all free shipping, no slow delays, Santa's on his way. I'm dreaming of a cheap Christmas, with every contact that I made. May your finals be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases.
Wow, did that come off the album that he did with Rockin' Ray?
I tell you what, man, these squirrels down in Mississippi are talented. Bling cheaply.
That was beautiful.
Oh, it brought tears to your eyes. See, that's the spirit.
Yep. It brought tears to my eyes, and then they started turning into ice cubes.
Yeah.
I was crying, too, for a different reason.
Yeah, me too. Well, you know, Christmas time is a time that families, friends exchange gifts. Right here, we're kind of cheap, so we didn't give anybody anything except another year of videos. However, we received something in the mail here, all of us did, from our friend Terry, 2E0IPK, who's in the chat room right now.
Nice.
And we've been holding this because he sent it some time back.
Well, actually, it's a good thing Terry did that, because we just got through a postal strike that lasted over a month.
It took a long time for this one to arrive. I think email got his right away, but ours was a little delayed for some reason.
You open it?
Yeah, let's open those up. Email has already opened his. The rest of us weren't naughty.
I couldn't wait. Terry sent us some good stuff.
I like these envelopes he sent them in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good job. It made it intact totally, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. It actually arrived, I think, at the very end of November, just before the postal strike. So.
Oh, wow.
Want to read it?
Yeah, read
it. Oh, wow.
A one for each of us.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Says, hi, guys. Please find an enclosed From Intercept to Action guide regarding the coded messages as they came into Bletchley Park and actually purchased at Bletchley Park after we went to the RSGB convention. Bletchley Park is around 75 miles away from where I live, 13 miles east of central London. Being a member of the RSGB Radio Society of Great Britain, we get a free entry voucher as many times as we like for the park. That's cool. I'm also in the middle of putting a video together that I shot within the park and presently editing and adding things to it. If you want, I can send that to you.
Yes.
Never take things for granted and certainly do not want to become a nuisance in my videos, but if you want it, gladly forward it at some point. Take care there, Terry, 2E0IPK. And absolutely, we'd love to get your video, Terry. It's not a nuisance. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
So
yeah.
100% appreciate it. This is really awesome. I'm actually going to be over there. Actually, I land Christmas Day there. So I hope to get by this the Bletchley Park when I go, if I can figure out how to get there through the train. This is very cool. Thank you so much.
It is very cool. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Awesome radio history.
Actually, there's kind of a Canadian connection. I don't know if you've ever heard of Camp X.
Yeah.
There was a big installation during the end of World War II. But this is very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Really appreciate that, Terry.
I don't know that I had this exact model, but I remember I had something that looked like this. They made a lot of things that looked like this, so I just picked out one. This is a transistor radio kit, complete with headphone. I don't think it even had a speaker, and I think you could only listen with the headphones that came with it. But
and it received real radio programs, not the fake ones.
Exactly.
Awesome.
If you live close enough to a radio station. Tommy, you live close enough to a radio station that you were able to get by with one of these right here.
Yeah. This is actually maybe my very favorite thing I had when I was a little kid. I think about that more than anything. Crystal radio kit came from Radio Shack. $2.95. And I listened to that thing for hours and hours and hours, man. I was talking to my brother on the phone the other day. And actually, when I was going to the store, I was talking to you. He called me. I said, I was talking to my friend on the ham radio. Hold on 1 second. He said, Tommy, you remember? I remember you laying on the bed and listening to that little radio thing you made up there. He's talking about that kit right there. He still remembers that, too. I listened for hours and hours on that thing.
Mike, you had one, too, didn't you? Not that one, but I did something
too.
Similar.
It was made by a company called Alden. And it was a crystal radio kit.
Oh, fancy one.
This one's a little different. It didn't use a tuning capacitor. It used a coil. And what you had to do is, I don't know if you can see there. It's a little faded. But you can see the actual coil on the side of the box there. And what you did is, it came with a piece of sandpaper. And you used to you sanded a strip across the bottom of the coil. And that little lever, what you were doing is you were removing the enamel off the bottom side of the coil, and that little tuning bar would make contact at various points on that coil, and that was your tuning. And actually, it didn't work too bad. I learned about electricity because I almost got electrocuted. Back in the days, our house didn't have polarized plugs, so a lot of the things like table lamps and that you could plug in either direction with the plug. And I remember one day I had my hand on the radio, and I reached for the desk lamp, and of course, it's the brass, and it must have been the hot side that the plug was plugged into, and I got one heck of a shock.
Oh, yeah. And you haven't really lived until you've had your hand on the chassis of an All-American 5.
You've got to experience that. It's
right
of passage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Right of passage, for sure.
And here's another one. I was – maybe I heard of this, but I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, Big Jim. He was an action figure. My brother had G.I. Joe. I ended up with Big Jim for some reason. he was kind of along the same lines, although he wasn't exciting. But he had this thing where you'd flex his arm, and it had this little armband on it. It would pop the armband.
You didn't pull his finger.
No.
Okay.
I had the camper, too. That was a camping set. Probably the most exciting thing about that whole thing was the boat on top there. So take it out in the backyard, play in the puddles with it.
There were a lot of different ones, kits of this Big Jim series, weren't there, Emil?
Yeah, Big Jim was ready for action, man. Scuba diving.
Oh, with the propane torch, too.
Propane torch, you know, Big Jim, right? Look, that he kind of looks familiar. Yeah. With some desoldering tools, and he's got the right outfit on for the way Big Jim used to do some part removals.
It is. I don't remember Big Jim, but, you know, I'm a few years older than y'all.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
I don't think he was around too long. Early to mid-70s, there was I got looking at it, and I only had the camper, and I didn't know about some of the other things they had for him.
Well, after the Big Jim parts retrieval version, they probably quit making it.
Probably had to. Well, I've got an email here, and this came from, well, you've heard of this guy before. We've talked about Elliot, K1MF.
Oh, yeah.
From time to time, he sends us an email. He's in the chat room occasionally. I'm not sure if he's in there tonight or not, because I haven't been able to watch it very close. But
I haven't seen him.
He sent an email a little while back here. He actually sent two, and they kind of go together, so I'm going to mention both of them. He said, we've all been there. We put something away in a box, and it got stored in the attic, basement, or garage. And every once in a while, you might glance at the box with the intentions of opening it and viewing just to see what you had put in there. Well, he did pull out an old dusty box that particular week, opened it up, and he found an ICOM IC2AT handy talkie.
Oh, wow.
With a dry cell battery pack attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
Sounded like a horror story there, isn't
it? Yeah.
For fun, he flipped the switch on and the radio came to life.
Wow.
No outward signs of any battery leakage, so he opened it up and found these batteries were installed in it, which he knows dated back to 2012. Energizer lithium batteries. I didn't even know they had those.
It says high energy lithium on it. Yeah.
Yep, back in 2012.
Geez, that must have been like, they're gold colored, but they must have been the price of gold at that time too.
He said he believes he bought them at a Radio Shack store, and those are the batteries that came out of that dry cell battery holder.
Wow.
So that's, what, 12 years?
Wow.
They were in there and no corrosion.
That's pretty crazy.
He also said back in the day he had one of ICOM's 6-watt 2-meter handy talkies, the IC-T2H. There are two different versions of those, one with a rechargeable pack and one with a dry cell pack. The batteries that shipped with the HT were Panasonic alkaline batteries, as you can see in the attached photo. He bought the rig back in August of 2003. These are still the original batteries and still have some life in them. No leaks detected. Another one of those long forgotten items from long ago. Cheers, Elliot, K1MF.
That's just bad manufacturing they've got.
Tommy, you're a big fan of the Anker line of batteries, aren't you?
Yeah, they're pretty good stuff.
Pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us about this we've got coming up here?
Yeah, well, my son forwarded me an ad that said Anker had this deal where you could get a mystery box, I think it was called. and you get up to $120-something worth of, I think it was $120 worth of gear in it for $30, I believe. I'm like, well, I'm going to try that because I remember the mystery box you got from Gigaparts.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
George cleaned up on his. Well, mine didn't turn out quite so well. Since this is a Christmas episode, I decided to buy myself a little surprise Christmas gift. Can't wait to see what I got myself. Anchor had a deal where you can get a mystery box surprise for $29.99. Well, I ordered one and see what comes in it. It's supposed to have a chance at up to $199.99 worth of gear. So I probably got 99 cents worth in here, but let's see what's in here. Just thought it might be interesting to show you guys. Paper. Wow, it's not much in here. 3-in-1 portable phone charger, 10,000 milliamp hour. It's number one. Let's see. I was honestly expecting there to be quite a few things in here, but there's just one. And let's see. Oh, interesting. Well, that's pretty cool. Let's see how much these normally cost. Amazon shipped it. Well, on Amazon it cost $35.99. So I saved about $2. So I didn't not get a great deal on it. Looks like a nice little device. I'm actually going out of town, so I'll take it with me for Christmas. You can get these with the iPhone charger, the old style Lightning, I think it's called, or USB-C. This one happens to be USB-C, which is good because most of the things I have that on it, except my work phone. Anyway, a little disappointed I didn't get really more than my money's worth, but I doubt very many people really do. Anyway, have a Merry Christmas, 73. Yeah, my mystery box wasn't quite as good as the one you got.
No, that's a little disappointing there.
And I got a battery that I really didn't need for more money than I would have gotten it probably if I'd have just bought it.
With free shipping from Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what I do like about that one is it's got those flip down electrical connections like you used to see in the older MacBook Pros.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't have to.
You don't have to mess around with cords and stuff like that.
Yeah. I've already got one kind of like that. That's 65 watt. Mm-hmm. It's got three outlets on it. So I really didn't need it, but I got it. Anyway, I took a chance. Probably won't do it again next year if they do it. I did see that they came out with a newer model of those. Recently, matter of fact, the last few days, so they're probably trying to get rid of them.
Probably so. Well, the stuff I got in that surprise package I bought was, I'm sure, stuff they were trying to get rid of.
Yeah, you got but a decent they gave me a battery. Good bit of it. You got more than your money's worth out of it.
Yeah,
I got less than my money's worth for mine.
Well, I got something right here that's going to be more than your money's worth because, from our perspective, it was free.
Yeah.
Not from emails, though. It was, I'm sure it was quite expensive.
Yeah, see what that is.
We got another package here, Tommy. What do you say?
Oh, the Cajun Krangle. Yeah.
Awesome.
You still got that knife on you?
I do have it.
If you've ever wanted to be a Cajun diabetic, this is your chance.
This is like food of the gods right here, man.
I'll tell you what, man. That bakery. And yeah, they have to ship everything overnight, so they put the right prices on them. But you guys give us so much throughout the year that I figured we'd get some holiday spirit in there.
Oh, I got the king cakes, too. Wow. Legendary Cajun Kringle.
Awesome. Thank you, Emil.
Oh, look. Some fresh market Christmas coffee, too.
Got the pot ready?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But I do have a couple of paper plates and a knife here. One that hadn't been in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you say we take a bite? I'm kind of hungry.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah.
Me too, man.
We've got some more toys to talk about. And I need a little sugar boost right here.
That will definitely do it.
Look at that. I believe shrinkflation hit it.
That smells fantastic.
Uh-oh, shrinkflation might have got it.
It looks like, I don't remember how big the other one was, but thanks for this, man.
Everybody's got to
survive,
you know.
This stuff is...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
My mouth is watering. Talk about great with coffee.
Yeah.
Ooey gooey.
Oh, so I was trying to read see what was going on up there. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
All right, let's see here.
Dig in, Emil.
Mike, I would have sent you something, but I heard about the postal strike, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Your Christmas gifts are going to be late this year, too, as a result. And actually, I'm panicking right now because I renewed my passport in November, and I checked online, and they mailed it. So it's got tied up in that that backlog. So I don't know how long it's going to take for them to clear that.
Oh, that's good.
Amazing.
Yeah. The country of New Orleans definitely has the food.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. I mean, at first glance, you would say, sort of like a cinnamon roll, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Way beyond that.
Yep. Pralines down here in New Orleans.
You're close enough. You're in Mississippi, so you get the less taxes, but you're close enough to run over there and get stuff, aren't you?
Oh yeah, and yeah. Yeah, there's a Haydell's in Metairie, there's one in New Orleans, and but we have our own over here. I'm learning. Picayune and other places in Mississippi also have some places that I'm learning.
Well, yeah, there's a place down there that's famous for the king cakes, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe somewhere down in that area in Mississippi, you know, mm-hmm. this side of the river. Well, of course, part of New Orleans is on this side of the river, too. So, yeah.
This side of I-10.
Yeah.
We're north. We're in Yankee country now.
More toys here. This is another one that I always wanted that I didn't get. Now that I think about it, it probably wouldn't have been that much fun anyway. But it's one of those things, you know, Lost in Space was big on television back when I was a child. And I wanted this mechanized robot.
Oh yeah, that's like Robbie the Robot.
You know, if you had a robot and a computer, you could do anything without lifting a finger.
That's right.
That was kind of my thought on it. Well, it turns out it really wasn't exactly like that, but yeah. I wanted one of these bad, man.
But it looked cool.
I had one of those. Well, it wasn't one of those.
Clear plastic dome lights up. See the pistons in action.
Oh,
apparently,
cool.
This thing was gasoline powered.
Yeah. What is it, a V4 or an inline four?
It looks like an inline four there.
Did it come
to me.
With more spark plugs?
I don't know. I never got one. So
my brother had one of the Lost in Space robots. It was really cool. I don't know how he ended up with that instead of me, but this thing was probably a good foot and a half high, and it was the exact copy of B2 robot off of Lost in Space.
Yeah. Another thing, now this wasn't a Christmas gift here. This is just something I bought myself once I found that what Radio Shack was and that we had one in the state not not too terribly far from where I lived at the time. And I had one of these right here, a wireless AM mic kit, $4.95. You could build this thing and you could talk to an AM radio up to 20 feet away.
Mr. Microphone.
Yep, exactly. With that crystal microphone there.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Yeah.
I never forget that ad.
Yep. So, peat boxes, you know, those things were pretty neat. They came with the little clips on them where you stick the wires up under there and you poke them down in that plastic. Of course, you couldn't solder it or it'd melt.
Yeah, I did that to a couple of those.
Yep.
It was basically a brick.
And
board.
I'd have to relocate into a different hole and try it again because the hole would be too big by then.
Tommy, again, speaking of radios.
Yeah, and I did not have this, but I would love to have it. My dad had one, kind of like the one on the left right there. Except, looking at it, I think he had more bands on it. I tried to hijack that thing from him so many times, but it was off limits. It was like his pride and joy. He wouldn't let anybody mess with that radio.
Wow.
Four-band shortwave.
$85.
Yeah, that's like that's a fortune.
That's big money,
back then.
Mm-hmm.
$5 down and $5 monthly. Easy payments.
7 pounds. That's a heavy transistor radio there.
That's probably with the whole bag of deep cells in it.
Yes. Of course, you could go cheaper over here for $22.95.
Yeah.
5-transistor portable radio. Silvertone. You know, these things are like, what, $5 now?
Yes, if you that, could even you find could even one. Find it, yeah.
They were $5 in the 70s. This came out of the, I think it was the 1959 Sears Wish Book.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even know that they were selling transistor radios that long ago. But that explains why they were kind of pricey.
Yeah. I'd like to have that one my dad had. I want to say it had probably 7 or 8 bands on it. I know he had shortwave, AM and FM.
Yep.
He said, I think I remember him saying he used it. We lived in Virginia Beach area, so I think you remember saying he used it to listen to some of the boat traffic out there.
Hmm. Mike, this is another one of those toys that I was not familiar with.
Yeah, that company, I'm not really all that familiar with the company, but yeah, that was pretty cool. It was a little backpack, little adventure backpack. It had different things in it. Of course, it's all fake instruments in there, but I think my parents got it for me to keep me outside. Don't know.
Looks impressive.
I remember that. It had a flashlight and a compass, and that thing in the middle, I remember that thing was kind of like a periscope.
Hmm.
It would you'd wind the knob and the thing would go up and you could see around corners.
You were ready for POTA and you didn't know it back then.
Exactly.
Now,
here we go.
Oh boy. You'll shoot your eye out, Ralph.
You'll shoot more than your eye out.
This is 1961 Sears Wish Book.
You know, George, whenever you know, young or old, right? Nothing like a 22. Whether it's the bolt actions for $12.95 or the semi-automatic, young or old. That's right. Ideal first gun for anyone, young or old. Right.
$12.95 for a single shot 22 rifle.
Man, you can't find that today.
There's a 410. You could get a 410 shotgun.
Yeah.
Young or old.
Those are great for hunting wabbits.
If you go up there to the top, too, George, you can see the 15 shots fast as you can pull the trigger.
I noticed Emil's bundling up.
I'll tell you what, it's dropping fast.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the best idea he ever had.
Probably not.
Tommy, you're a computer nerd.
I have been known to tinker with a computer today. Yeah, but not one quite like that. That's a manual computer. And I haven't seen this before, but those are really awesome. Digicomp 1. It's a functioning mechanical digital computer sold in kit form. It works off of some flip-flop, which is in there. And it's all manual. It doesn't say what, I mean, megahertz or anything. So I think it depends on how much coffee you had that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
How fast you can toggle things.
Yeah. But I'm not sure exactly what you can compute with it. It's kind of interesting, but.
It looks like you could do stuff with at least zeros and ones.
Yeah.
Judging by the display.
That's what they all do.
1963.
Wow.
Oh, that's 1 year after I was born.
Yeah.
No wonder I didn't have one.
That explains it.
Yeah.
I remember Radio Shack having a digital computer kit of some kind, but
it was $5 at the time it came out, which was equivalent to about $50.
Now, this next one here, Mike, I don't know. I don't think you've got one of these, but maybe you have a friend that does.
Yes, the Robert Stealth 440 megahertz steel element Yagi antenna suit.
Hey, wait a minute.
I guess the feet were optional, right?
I don't remember wearing that.
I bet you wish you had it right now.
Yeah, you're right.
It would be pretty nice right now.
The gloves.
Now, this one, this could be useful right here. It's another one of those ham radio antenna type of things. It's a multi-band antenna kit. You can work a lot of different bands with this. Just stretch it out however much you want. And with an optional capacitor, you can make a nice T-network antenna tuner with it as well.
You say that, but I actually have two of those that I bought. I forgot about it. They're in my box of stuff out in my shop.
And you never wired them up yet?
No, I actually bought them to make an antenna out of.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't done anything with them, but I'm going to now that you remind me I had them. I forgot they were out there. They're right there next to the half a tape measure I still have.
Well, you know what the tape measure does, but you don't know what the slinkies do yet.
I'm going to try it out.
That could be a neat project.
I'm going to do it. I forgot all about having them until you just showed that.
You know, if you went out to a park and hung a couple of those up in a tree, you would impress everybody there.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Just come out and try it.
The slinky wave ratio. That's the SWR.
Mike, this one right here. I remember we had these when I was a kid. You probably did up there, too.
I don't remember them.
You don't?
All I remember is we had Tinker Toy and I can't remember what other. We had some other building block type of thing, but I don't remember Lincoln's Locks.
Yeah. Well, these.
Is that a Nohos in the middle?
You know,
it is.
It's got the half moon on the door.
It does. Wow.
I think that qualifies then.
That's where the other Lincoln logs go.
And I think
it comes with a bonus extruder. But you know what?
One final one tonight.
Emil's getting bundled up more every time you see him.
Yeah, I know.
Emil, this is, I don't know if you had this when you were a kid or not. But it looks like a lot of fun.
Wow. That looks incredibly familiar. But, you know, fully stretchable. The fully stretchable hero. Extendable Emil. E-E. It's a double E.
I've heard of Stretch Armstrong, but not Stretch Cheapo.
We had Extendable Emils up here.
5X. I think this sweater, this shoot I might have on is 5X. Man, I don't remember that, George.
I mean, you are pretty tall.
Yeah.
That may explain it.
It's kind of like the Hulk. You know how the Hulk turns into the Hulk and he always seems to have his shorts on still?
Yeah.
Cheap mad.
I guess so. Well, that's all the Christmas toys we brought tonight, and
wish I still had some of those. To be honest,
George, you had a couple of really cool toys: that vacuum former and the
printing.
What's the other thing you had on there?
The printing press.
and the printing press. That was really cool. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Yeah, I mean, it would take you forever to set a line of type on that thing. Your fingers would be black when you got finished.
Yeah.
Because
now you know how Gutenberg did that felt.
With silver lead type.
Yeah.
Oh, he's bundling up.
It's got to be. Well, it's not freezing, but it's getting close to it.
The wind is kicking.
Well, I think that's going to do it for tonight.
Yeah.
And it's been a fun 2024. We look forward to seeing everyone back here next month, next year.
2025, that'll be our 20th year in October.
It will be.
We'll have to do something really big.
Really big. Really big shoe.
Yep. Really big shoe.
Well, before we get out of here, any final thoughts?
Well, just everybody be safe. Have a great Christmas. And see you. I'm not sure when we're going to do Ham College. That falls at New Year, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll post it on the social media site.
Anti-social media places.
Yep. By the way, you know, a lot of people here like to tune into the monthly LogicNet. There won't be one for December. Tom gave us a little note here.
Yeah, it kind of falls too close to the Christmas stuff.
Have a wonderful and blessed holiday season from WA2IVD and all the LogicNet net controls.
I'll second that.
Be back January the 28th. All right, and we mentioned earlier, and we never did say, the Jackson Hamfest here is going to be coming up. Capital City Hamfest 2025 will be Friday, January the 31st through February the 1st.
So we were both wrong. You said it's at the end of January, the 1st of February, so yes.
I was doubly right.
I guess so.
I couldn't go wrong with an answer like that. That's only a little over a month away. Yeah, we'll definitely be there.
Yeah. Something will happen again.
Yep.
Planning on it.
Mike, any final thoughts from up there?
Sunday morning at midnight, it's going to be -6 Fahrenheit.
So, what?
What's that in Kelvin?
In Kelvin? Cold.
Okay.
That's cold no matter how you measure it.
Email.
Keep your point.
How are you feeling down there? Any final thoughts?
You know, keep it cheap and keep it warm, for God's sakes. It's dropping. Like he said, he's driving like a rock down here. So,
and do like I say, not like I do, right?
Right. Don't host your show outside.
Yeah. And Bill thinks he's saving energy by sitting outside, even though he's still got the house set to the same temperature.
At least he doesn't have that fan on up there.
That's right. I made sure it was not on.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. Whatever else there is that you're celebrating this time of year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year. And we'll let you know when the next Ham College is coming up.
Yep.
7-3.
Good night.
7-3. 7-3.